In the name of the one who blesses us, that we might bless. Amen. At the last parish I served, there was a stand-up comedian who faithfully came to church every single Sunday. He was a lector, a reader for the church. He was also the son and grandson and great-grandson of Methodist preachers. He'd always have something technical to offer about whatever sermon I delivered. Great elocution, Allison. Solid delivery. Or let me give you some advice on how not to pop your peas in the microphone. And the one thing he often said to me that it got ingrained in my being around preaching is, Allison, you preached the good news. Now tell me what I'm supposed to do about it. Tell me what I'm supposed to do about it. We come here week after week for various reasons. You may come simply because it's what you do. Or you may be seeking solace, forgiveness, or peace. But ultimately, being a person who worships God and hears the good news of the gospel and receives the bread and wine made holy, it's about the transformation of your life. It's about you growing into the full stature of Christ. Now, just coming and listening to the gospel on Sunday mornings and receiving the bread and wine and then not experiencing this good news in the rest of your day-to-day life is like intending to get in shape, doing so by sitting on your couch, eating a bowl of popcorn, watching a workout video. Our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, who's the Episcopal head of our church, is encouraging members of our church to strengthen their faith by taking on practices, developing what's called a rule of life, getting in line with what it means to follow Jesus practically. Presiding Bishop Curry wants us to talk about what we're supposed to do about it. He's offered us the way of love. 7 different practices, which you can find on the cover of your bulletin today, and you'll find it there for the next several weeks. And in today's gospel, I believe Jesus is teaching us how to bless. Now, every week, we have a dismissal that encourages us to go into the world and to practice God's love. And I'll often declare the dismissal, "Let us bless the Lord." To which you respond, "Thanks be to God." But what are we supposed to do about it? How are we supposed to be people who bless the Lord? I've heard some Episcopalians say, "Oh, blessings. That's what priests do at the altar." I haven't heard many Episcopalians talk about how they themselves are called to bless. How can we together practice blessing 7 days a week? There's a cliched phrase that goes around some Christian circles. "I'm blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing." And I thought, oh, whatever, that's just some cliched phrase. But then I decided to look it up. And it actually comes from all the way back in the 12th chapter of Genesis. You can trace back, blessed to be a blessing. Abraham, he's called by God to a very specific ministry. Leave your home. Go to the land God shows you. And he does it. He does what God calls him specifically to do. And God blesses Abraham. And then God says in return, because you have been blessed, you will be a blessing. All the peoples of the earth were blessed, are blessed through Abraham. The practice of being a blessing begins with being willing to follow God. And then we see how God has blessed us. And from that, we're able to bless. We're able to bless others with our time and our talent and our treasure. So we see an example of Peter learning how to bless this morning in the gospel. We find Peter around the campfire, and then he goes out fishing with his friends. Now, Jesus, much earlier, after he'd called Peter, had asked the 12 if they were going to desert him when others had started to desert him. And Peter confesses, "I have no one else to follow, nowhere else to go." And he says, "Lord, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are God's Holy One." But then we know Peter chooses a different path. He chooses, ultimately, not to follow. Peter, Jesus' best friend, had pretended he did not even know Jesus, not once, but three times, as he was on trial. But here Jesus was, somehow amazingly alive again. They'd gone out to do what they knew how to do in the wake of this resurrection. They went out to catch fish, but they couldn't catch any. And this is where Jesus teaches us how to bless. He says, "Hey, cast your net to the other side. Do it my way. Let it down into the other side of the boat." And that's all it takes, is them listening to this man on the beach they don't even know yet is Jesus. And they pull it in, and 153 fish overwhelm the net. And it all happens when Peter turns back to trying it someone else's way. Peter instantly recognizes it's Jesus when the load of fish comes tumbling into the boat. So as we explore how we might practice how to bless, here's a question. Have you been following in your day-to-day life after the heart of God? Have you been placing your trust in Jesus? Or have you had your attention on doing it your own way? Peter didn't even know it was Jesus he was following. He simply listened to the possibility that there might be a different way other than the one he had been trying without success. If we're going to be people who bless, we have to start by being in a place where God can first bless us. We have to be open to trying something other than our own way. And once we are in a place where we have a sense that we are seeking after a way different than our own, that we are perhaps actually following God, the next practice is to count the blessings. What kind of time? What kind of talent? What kind of treasure is present in our life? Take a look at all that we are, all that we possess, and then take some time to give thanks to God for the blessing of it all. I think it's easy for us to look at our lives sometimes as the empty net. Perhaps we are casting the net to the wrong side of the boat. Take some time to get some perspective on your life. You may feel like you have no time. There's no time. But then your iPhone reminds you that you've spent 3 hours of screen time every day the past week. You may feel like you have no talent, but then someone reminds you of your gift of paying attention to details, or even your willingness to show up when no one else does. You may feel like your treasure is paltry in comparison with your neighbors, but then you're reminded that you're in the top 1 or 2% of wealth in this world if you're making more than $800 a month in income. That means almost our entire population in this country is rich. We're rich. So finally, after the abundance of 153 fish come flopping onto the sandy beach, Jesus says, "Come eat breakfast." It was a big breakfast. They eat it, and Jesus has bread waiting for them too. And it's in breaking bread, the sharing of the abundance of the fish, that all of them recognize Jesus. So they finish their breakfast, and that's when Jesus shows them what it looks like to bless. He asks Peter, "Simon," he uses his original name, "do you love me?" And Simon says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I do." And Jesus replies, "Feed my lambs." And Jesus is relentless. He keeps asking Simon, "Simon, do you love me? Do you love me?" Simon assures him, "Yes, you hear me. You know I do. I'm saying the words." Jesus is clear that the practice we're to cultivate is this: as you've been fed, now go and feed others. Bless. Share your faith. Unselfishly give. Unreservedly share. Freely forgive. So the final question: you have been blessed. How might you now bless others? You are blessed to be a blessing. What are the ways the Spirit's calling you to bless others? How will or does blessing others through sharing your resources, your faith, and your story become part of your daily life? I want you to take a moment and think of just one way that God has blessed you. Now think of a way you might take that blessing and bless others. May it be so. And may we follow and practice the way of Jesus. Amen.